Hello and welcome to the Portland Christian Center podcast. The following podcast is part 12 of our series called The Wonder of Worship, and it's presented by Ray Noah, lead pastor here at the center. Today's study begins with a key scripture from the Book of Lamentations, chapter 3, verse 22. Let's join Ray as he shares with us this week's message titled, The Worship of a Grateful Life.
I have a couple of friends up here, obviously, on the stage, and this is Gary and this is Don, and Gary said to me just a couple of minutes ago, he said, wow, this is a different perspective up here. And I said, yeah, it's kind of like going to the zoo, isn't it? And so. Well, we're at the tail end of a series on worship. Been talking about the wonder of worship. I hope you've enjoyed this series as much as I have, and today we bring it to a close. And I want to talk to you, I think appropriately so, on this particular weekend about the worship of a grateful life. The worship of a grateful life. I love what David says in Psalm 106, verse 1. In the Message version of the Bible, he says, oh, thank God, he is so good, his love never runs out. His love never runs out. And so I want to talk to you today about the power of a grateful life, of a grateful heart. You know, over the last few weeks, and by the way, next week we're going to begin a series in Matthew on Christmas, and we're going to see Christmas from Matthew's perspective, and then that's going to lead into the first of the year. We're going to do a series out of Matthew, and we're going to start with the Sermon on the Mount, just kind of go through it verse by verse, and I'm looking forward to seeing in a close-up way. What the red letters of the Bible have to say to us here at Portland Christian Center. And so it's going to be a great series, I think, as we enter into the new year. You know, last week you heard a lot about the wonders and the glories of God that are taking place in Africa. And what a powerful service we had last week. I just think the Holy Spirit was at work and took it in a whole different direction. And really just so exciting to see what God is doing over there in Ethiopia through the ministry of Portland Christian Center. Not only the thousands of people who are surrendering their hearts to Jesus Christ for the first time and the growth in Portland Christian Center's church plants, but to hear the individual stories of God's grace and his mercy, and to hear of the signs and the wonders and the miracles that God is doing over there. And, you know, we've heard stories of miracles, of healings. We've heard a dramatic testimony of God's power being displayed through our church planters. We've heard of people being delivered from demonic oppression in dramatic fashion. And we've even heard of the dead being raised. And it's just an amazing thing that God is doing over there. It really feels to me like we are living a revival that you read about in the book of Acts. It is an amazing thing. But that always brings up the question when I come back here and our team comes back and we share some of these stories. The question always comes up, well, why doesn't God do things like that here? Why doesn't God move in signs and wonders and in his power right here in good old Portland? And I have two responses to that. The first one is this. Over there you find people with simple faith. I think that's a key, simple faith. Their faith, unlike ours, is pretty uncluttered. I mean, it's just pretty simple. You either believe God or you have nothing. You either have God or you have darkness. You have God or you have sickness. You have God or you have death. And so they lean into God, and they really lean into God, and they just take God at his word, and when they pray, they expect, and things happen. And my prayer for me and my prayer for Portland Christian Center is that God would help us to just drill back down to what simple faith is all about. It's a little bit hard in our culture because we have God plus a whole lot of other options. We have God in the medicine cabinet. We have God in ibuprofen. We have God in the doctor. We have God in our bank accounts. We have God in so many other things. Over there, you've got God or you've got nothing. And so I think that kind of provides the environment for God to really show up and do what God does over there and what God wants to do here. My other response to that is that things are happening here. We just don't always take the time to hear about those kind of things. God is at work right here in Portland. God is at work right here at Portland Christian Center. And my hope and my prayer is that some of the things that God is doing that you're going to hear about in the next couple of minutes will become, in a way, commonplace among us, that we will begin to see a display because of our simple faith and childlike trust in God. We will begin to see more of a display of God's power and God's grace and the miracle wonders of the Lord at work in our midst. There's a couple of guys on the stage with me this morning that I think are especially grateful, and their families are especially grateful this morning because of what God has just done in their lives in the last few days. Over here is Don Shockley, and while I and the team were in Ethiopia, something very dramatic happened in your life, and God then did something very dramatic in response to that. So Don, why don't you just share with the people what God did for you?
Thank you. It's good to see you this morning. November the 7th, I came to church, to the Sunday school class, and things were perfectly normal. I sat down at the table getting ready to enjoy the class, and I got a strange sensation in the pit of my stomach, and I told my wife, I'm going out in the hall for a minute. About 2 or 3 minutes later, she came out to check on me. The pressure had gotten greater, and I told her I was in trouble. She ran back in, grabbed her purse, and told Dixie Pollock that Don's having problems. We're going home or somewhere. Well, Dixie followed her out, and they saw what was happening. They immediately began to pray and call 911. Prayer was first. 911 was second. Having had several years of medical training, and the fire bureau knew that I was in pretty bad trouble. The ambulance and fire arrived, and they threw me on the gurney and put the strip on me, and my heart was beating 242 beats a minute. The time that had elapsed from the time I walked out until they got there was somewhere around 7 minutes. And if you're a medical person, you know that your body cannot sustain that. Within 4 minutes, you should be unconscious, and 7 minutes, you should be clinically dead. I was still alive and talking. My wife was beside me, and I said, honey, we knew that someday this day would come. I love you. And she said she loved me, and basically, we kissed goodbye. Before she came out, and when I first walked out, I saw the table and the chair there, and I said, Lord, is this a place that I'm going to die? If it is, I want to make sure that there's nothing between you and me that would keep me from being with you. But I still have a few things I'd like to do. Make a long story short, they took me to St. Vincent's. While I was en route, the church class began to pray for 15 to 20 minutes. When the ambulance rolled up to the ER emergency room door, my heart began normal beating. They'd given me a sedative, of course, and I'm told that I talked to the emergency room doctor and answered a bunch of questions, and my first conscious knowing that I was still in the land of the living was when they rolled me into the room that I was to occupy for the next night. They transferred me to Kaiser Hospital, did an angiogram, found out that my heart is, all the arteries are free and clear, no cholesterol, have a strong heart, but I had an electrical problem. So I now have a wonderful little implant here of a defibrillator pacemaker just in case, which we hope it never will happen again, that it should try and run away. I'd like to remind every one of you that we're all just one heartbeat from eternity. If you haven't accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, today's the day. It's a gift. All you have to do is receive Him. The same with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It's a gift that we can receive power to be His witnesses. And then those signs will follow those that believe. The dead raised, the sick healed, and all those things. Again, thank you for your prayers, and God is a great God. Thank
Man,
you.
He is. God is good all the time. Don, you're such a witness to the power and the grace of God, and I have a feeling that you'll be doing that till the day God really does take you home. And you'll wait, and you were supposed to be dead by all rights. You should have been dead, but You prayed, your wife prayed, the class prayed, and God really did a miracle. By the time you left the church in that ambulance until the time you got to the hospital, God had really done a work in your life. And you know, eternity is going to be a long, long time. And I think it's forever. You're right. And I'm just glad that you're still here for a little while longer. And I want you to know I want you for at least a couple of more decades. Okay. I need your help. So just don't even think about doing that again. No problem. Good. It's a living miracle right in front of our eyes. And God has been so good. And God does answer prayer. Gary has a tremendous story as well. This happened just a few weeks ago where God really stepped in and intervened in a what was otherwise really a hopeless situation. And so I want Gary just to share a little bit about what's gone on in his family.
Well, thank you. I had to write this down because I had some bad allergies and I get kind of, my tears will get blown a little bit. So now, on a Monday morning, August 23rd, I received a phone call from my wife, Clydeen, that my 13-year-old grandson had been in a skateboard accident in Tigard. I was in Bend at the time. Now, I immediately left my job in Bend and drove 165 miles on my journey home. And without a lot of information and no cell service for about 80 miles, the only thing I could do was pray. When you're alone and not sure how serious a problem is, you pray always for the best. We always pray for the best. Well, I was able to get cell service. I was able to get a hold of my wife. And I was notified the situation was way worse than anticipated. He was in critical condition. He was on life support, and he was bleeding in the brain. The prayers turned to tears and anxiety. As I continued my journey home, I realized that whatever was in store for Austin's life or death, I had to put all my trust in God. No matter how much I worried, I was not in control. At the time I arrived at the hospital, he was in surgery. They had inserted a pressure regulator into his brain to regulate the pressure. Within hours, they had to do brain surgery. He had fractured his skull in 5 places, had 3 lacerated arteries, and where the injuries were located, all they could do was pack the blood vessels and use anticoagulant drugs to stop the bleeding. So God stopped the bleeding. In the beginning, the reports were very dim. They thought he could have hearing loss, a broken neck, and brain damage. With each day that followed, Austin's progress showed that God answered many, many prayers. There was no significant brain damage or spinal cord damage. And after 1 brain surgery, 5 days in critical condition, and all the wonderful people of this church, and all of our friends' prayers, our grandson received a miracle. On Thursday morning, Austin's neurosurgeon came by to see his progress. Austin's dad, Chad, asked him what the surgeon thought of Austin's progress. And he told us, "All I can say is Austin is a miracle." We took him home Monday, 8/30/2010, 1 week after his accident. And 1 day before my birthday was the best birthday gift I've ever had. Through it all of this, I thought I had a strong faith. But my faith has become stronger, and I'm very thankful for my God, my family, and all of the blessings that I have. And I do not take anything for granted, and I give all the glory to the Lord. You know, it said, being a Christian does not mean you will not have problems. In this life, in fact, Jesus said that we would. And if you're going through a difficult time, I want to encourage you to lean on Jesus. Do not go through it alone. You know, there was a couple of verses that came to me. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. Was Psalms 34:4 and Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and be thankful.
I'll praise the Lord.
Yeah. There's a picture of Austin yesterday getting his tree, so you can see the transition he's made in just a few short months.
Wow. God is good. You know, we sent one of our pastors up, I think, that day or the next day to the hospital.
Yes,
and we expected to, you know, we don't pronounce the last rites, but in a sense, you know, pray over the end of his life and over the family. And it was, I think, maybe the next Sunday or the following Sunday that Austin was here in church. And I kind of did a double take because it was, and his head was, half of it was shaved, and just unbelievable the miracle that God had done. Friends, God is good. All the time, right? And God is still at work. God is not only at work at Africa, God is at work here at Portland Christian Center. And, you know, we just need to take courage and encouragement from that, and we need to just praise and thank God for how good he is. God is good. His love endures for how long? Forever. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you say thank you to these two for sharing their story? God bless you guys. God bless you. You know, I want you to stand with me, and we're just going to give God another, offer up another prayer of thanksgiving to the Lord for just how good he is, and we're going to invite him to just pour out even more grace upon us because he wants to, and I want to be a recipient, a vessel of just to receive all the grace and all the goodness that God has for us and for this church. So let's pray. Father, we just so thank you for these stories, these testimonies. We don't take enough time to thank you for who you are and for what you've done. And yet we have heard two modern-day miracles, stories of your miraculous intervention in our lives. People right here in our church, just in recent days, these aren't stories from 20 or 30 or 50 years ago. These are current stories. And these stories are not explainable. We cannot explain them apart from your signs and your wonders and your goodness and your grace in this congregation. So, Lord, we thank you for them. And, Lord, we just pray that you would see fit to pour out even more of your grace upon us. We pray that signs and wonders and miracles would become commonplace at Portland Christian Center. Not that we would ever forget your miracles, not that we would ever take them for granted, but I just pray that these stories would be so many and so frequent that the people of this community would know that there is a God who is alive and who is well and who is at work at Portland Christian Center. And so we just offer ourselves before you this morning as candidates for your power and your glory to be displayed among us. Your word says that you have raised us up for this purpose, that you might display your great power through us and all of the earth. So, Lord, we offer ourselves for that purpose, and we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. As you're being seated, turn to someone and say, God is good all the time. Well, I love Thanksgiving, don't you? I mean, there's so many reasons to be grateful, but I just absolutely love the Thanksgiving holiday. I think it's the best one of all. I mean, I love getting up early on a Thursday morning and helping Linda to wake up so she can make the meal for me. I love the smell of the meal as it cooks in the oven, as it wafts through the house. I love the Thanksgiving meal, especially, whatever it is, if it's turkey or ham or prime rib or whatever. I love being with family. I love friends that come over. I love feeling so stuffed that you just can't hardly move. I love the football games before and during and after all day long on Thanksgiving Day. I love feeling so full that it hurts and swearing that I will not eat for days. And yet going back at halftime to have a sandwich and another piece of pie. You know, I love Thanksgiving for all of those reasons and more. I think Thanksgiving is just the best holiday of all. But I also think that it's a great holiday for another reason. And that is because of how good God is. And it calls us to stop and just to recognize how wonderful and how gracious he has been to us. I think Thanksgiving is important for several reasons, obviously, some that we've talked about. But I think Thanksgiving is just critically important for several reasons. One, it keeps us from being selfish in a self-absorbed and a narcissistic culture. You know, that's the world that we live in. People focus on themselves, people wanting to, you know, do this or to do that to make their lives better. But, you know, when you stop and you offer gratitude to God, it reminds us of just how good God is. The act of gratitude, you see, gets me beyond me and my little world. And it recognizes the goodness and the greatness of God. It calls me to recognize how gracious and how generous God has been in my life. That's one reason why it's so critically important. And two, Thanksgiving calls me to even look at my hardships and my disappointments and to see the hand of God even within those circumstances, working out his good purposes for me. One of my favorite writers is Henry Nouwen. And this is what he said. I so appreciate this and agree with it. And I hope that it'll challenge you as well. He said, "Let us not be afraid to look at everything that has brought us to where we are right now. The good as well as the bad, the moments of joy as well as the moments of sorrow, the successes as well as the failures, the rewards as well as the rejections. And some of us have come into this place today having experienced the negative side of those equations, and perhaps we don't think that there's a lot of reason to be joyful today, or maybe we're struggling with being grateful today. And now one goes on to say, and to trust in all of those circumstances, to trust that we will soon see in it or in them the guiding hand of a loving God. It's amazing how an attitude of gratitude can reframe our problems into possibilities for God to work. It's amazing how just offering gratitude to God out of the joy and sometimes even faith in our hearts, how we then turn our difficulties, our disappointments, and we see them now as God's appointments for our lives, that God is good and he's generous and he's gracious and he's got a plan for our lives, and he will work out all of those things for his glory and for our good. It's amazing how gratitude shifts your perspective about things like that. Mother Teresa told a story, moving story, back in 1994 when she was invited to the National Prayer Breakfast in Washington, D.C. And she talked about how one evening she and three of the sisters went out into the streets of Calcutta to minister to people. And there they found four people that were in a bad way. And Mother Teresa writes that she found one of those who was in a most terrible condition. She said, "I told the sisters, you take care of the other three and I will take care of the one who looks the worst. So I did for her all that my love could do. I put her in bed, and there was such a beautiful smile on her face. She took hold of my hand, and she said only two words, 'Thank you, thank you.' And then she died." Mother Teresa goes on to say, "I couldn't help but examine my conscience before her, and I asked, what would I say if I were in her place? And my answer was very simple. I would have tried to draw a little attention to myself. I would have said, 'I'm hungry, I'm in pain, I'm dying,' or something. But she gave me much more. She gave me her grateful love, and she died with a smile on her face." That's the power of a grateful life. Gratitude brings a smile to the face of the giver, and it becomes a gift to the one to whom it is given. That's the power of gratitude, to reframe even our problems into possibilities, our disappointments into his appointments, our challenges into opportunities for God to reveal his glory and his purposes and his goodness in our lives. And then three, I think thanksgiving, gratitude is such an important act of worship for us, because an attitude of gratitude reminds us of just how truly blessed we are. You know, every time we come back from Africa, this is such a reality in my life. We go over there and we see people that just don't have anything, and life is so hard, and we come back here and life is relatively easy for Americans. Even the worst off among us are by far much better off than they are over there. Gratitude reminds us of how truly blessed we are. It demands that I quit taking for granted all of the wonderful gifts that God has given me, and to specifically recognize that God is the source of every gift, of every good thing in my life. You see, our gratitude pleases God, and it releases even more of God's goodness into our lives. It's not that when we're not grateful, God refuses to give us good things. You know, God is not like the master and we're like the puppy and he only will give us a treat if we beg. It's not that God is reluctant to give. It's that our ingratitude becomes a barrier for the gifts and the goodness of God to flow into our lives. The great preacher Andrew Murray said, "To be thankful for what we have received is the surest way to receive more." To be thankful for what we have. To be thankful for God's activity in our lives, to be grateful for who God is and what he has already done, is the surest way to receive even more from the hand of God. Bruce Chapman wrote an article a couple of years ago that appeared in the Seattle Times, and it was on Thanksgiving Day, and I don't know whether the man is a believer or not, but he wrote a really great article called "Give Thanks, It's Good for You." And in this article, he says this. He said, "An attitude of gratitude builds on itself Express gratitude and you'll feel more grateful. If you notice some small matter worth being thankful for, you increase the chance of noticing another one soon. When you're grateful, it just perpetuates itself. You begin to realize just how blessed we really are. You begin to open your life up to receive even more of the blessings of God. An attitude of gratitude is critical for that reason. And four, gratitude causes us to focus on what's most important. Bottom line is that God is faithful and God is always good. God's faithfulness is, if there were no other reason to be grateful, God's faithfulness is reason enough to express a heart of thanksgiving to God, isn't it? God's unending mercy, his steadfast love, his undeserved grace in our lives is reason enough to be grateful for all eternity. There's a chorus that we used to sing. Pastor Ron, you'll remember this. Hallelujah, thank you, Lord. Remember that song, Hallelujah, thank you, Lord? And in that song is a line that says, who could ever list his miracles? Who could praise you half enough? And that's so true. That's so true. How could we begin to list all of the reasons for which we should be grateful? God has been so marvelously and generously good to us. You know, but when I begin to recount all the things that God has done in my life, like my family, my wife, my friends, the wonderful fellowship that Portland Christian Center is, the purpose that God has given me to fulfill in this life, prosperity that he's blessed me with, provision, health, a sense of well-being, all of those things and much more are reasons enough for me to be grateful. But I always come down to this bottom line reason that God deserves my gratitude because of his grace and his mercy in my life. If I had no other reason to be thankful, that alone would be reason enough, his grace and his mercy. Jeremiah the prophet, I think, summed it up very well in one of my favorite verses in all of the Bible. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22, it says this. I want you to say it with me. Say this with me. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Great is your faithfulness, oh God. I mean, think about it. If it weren't for the Lord's great love, if it weren't for his mercy, if it weren't for his grace in our lives, we wouldn't even be sitting here this morning, much less being able to offer reasons for our gratitude. It's only because of his grace and his mercy that we even exist. And so I want to challenge you this morning. As simple as this message is, as many times as you've heard the call to be a thankful people, I want to challenge us this morning that we would elevate gratitude in our lives to what the Bible says should just be clearly the natural overflow of our hearts. That we would begin, like never before, to offer God the worship of our gratitude in our everyday, moment-by-moment life, that we would allow thanksgiving to be our organic, our deliberate, and our continual act of worship. That thanksgiving would be just organic in our lives, that it would just bubble up from inside because of just how grateful we are to God for his goodness. But it would also be deliberate, that we would strategically and intentionally lift our praise and our thanksgiving to the Lord for how good he is, for who he is, and that we would continually allow gratitude to flow from our lips as an act of worship unto the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 10 says this. Moses said, when you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land that he has given you. David writes in Psalm 100, and verse 4, he says, enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and to praise his name. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love, his mercy endures forever. Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, Paul writes, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. The truth is, friends, as we come to the end of this worship series, the truth is there is no higher worship that we should live as people who are characterized by grateful lives. There is no higher worship than that. Now, the challenge is, that's much easier said than done. Because the drift in our lives is away from gratitude. The drift in our lives is to take for granted all of the good things that God has done in our lives. The drift is to forget that God, to forget God's present goodness and greatness and graciousness in our lives. The tendency is to get busy, to get selfish, to get self-absorbed, and to forget to offer our gratitude to the Lord. Remember the story of the 10 lepers that were healed by Jesus? And they took off to declare their healing, their wholeness to the priest. And in their excitement, they ran off and they forgot to say thank you to Jesus, except for one who came back and said, "Lord, thank you for what you've done." We tend to be like the other nine. We forget to give God the credit and the praise that he deserves. So how do we live as a people who are characterized by continual gratitude in our lives? Well, I want to give you a few simple practices that I think can help to keep us grateful before the Lord. Let me give you four. First of all, simply this: just practice reflecting on God's goodness. Just reflect on God's goodness. Take some time and just list out as many of the blessings of God that you can think of in your life, and just watch what happens. In fact, I want to challenge you today. Most of us will leave this place and we'll go out for a meal. We'll gather with family, we'll gather with friends. And if it's your custom, if it's your practice, you will offer thanks to the Lord, right? Before the meal. I don't know if that's your practice. I think it's a pretty good one. But before you do that, I would just challenge you to go around the table and have each one just say, "This is what I'm most grateful for." Just practice gratitude. Practice reflecting on the goodness of God and watch what happens. It'll cause you to slow down and to appreciate how good God is and how blessed you are. Barbara Johnson is a wonderful, inspirational speaker. And she tells a story in one of her books about a woman who was having a very bad day. She woke up late, she got the late work, and when she arrived at work, stuff happened that just made her day that had started off not so good, even more miserable. Just was a bad day, and then by the end of the day, she was really grumpy and crabby, and she left the office and went to the bus stop for her ride home. And as usual, the bus was late, and when it did arrive, it was packed with people, so she couldn't find a seat. She had to stand up, and then the bus took off, and it went this way, and it went that way, and it pulled her this way and swung her that way. And people were elbowing, and it was just, the end of the day was even worse than the beginning of the day. And she was really getting in a foul mood. And then she suddenly heard a man's voice up in front of the bus proclaim, "It's a beautiful day, isn't it?" She thought, "Who in the world is this guy?" She couldn't see through the crowd. She couldn't figure out who it was, but he just kept on talking. He just commented on everything that the bus passed and made his day even more special. He talked about a baseball diamond over here and a beautiful church on the other side. And they went around a corner and he talked about a candy store that was over here and a playground that was there and a library that was over here. And this lady noticed that as this guy offered this running commentary, the atmosphere in the bus became a lot lighter. People began to smile. People began to talk. And she noticed that even in her own heart that the burden was beginning to lift, that she was feeling much better about her day. When her bus reached the stop where she was to get off, she inched her way through the crowd and got to the front of the door, and there she saw her tour guide. He was an older man. He was plump. He had sunglasses on, and he was carrying a white cane. He was blind. She stepped off the bus, and she realized that her burden of the day had just totally lifted, and she also realized that God had sent her a blind man to show her what she hadn't seen before. That God is good, and the world that God has placed her in is still a beautiful world, even when the day is not going so well. God is good all the time. So take time to remember. Practice reflecting on what God has done and who he has been in your life, and watch what happens. Practice reflecting. Secondly, realign your life and your language to give God the credit that he deserves. So many times we fail to thank God for what he's done. We don't notice We take for granted. We get busy, whatever. I suppose that it's just human nature to want to talk more about the part that we play in our successes than to acknowledge God's much greater role in the good things that have happened in our lives. Deuteronomy chapter 8, verses 17 and 18 says this. It says that you may say to yourself, my power and my strength, the strength of my hand, have produced this success for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to achieve success. As successful and blessed as you are, don't forget, it is God who has given you the ability to gain whatever good has happened in your life. So ask yourself, am I giving God the credit that he deserves? Am I acknowledging God? Am I giving God all of the credit and all of the acknowledgement that he so rightly deserves? Change your language. Change your language to the language of gratitude. Change your language and watch what happens. It will change your world. Try it. You'll see what I mean. And then third, refocus your vision from an earthly view to an eternal perspective. Perhaps as important as anything else that I say today is this. Change your view. Quit looking at it just from an earthly point of view and begin to look at it through the lens of eternity, through God's eyes, through God's perspective. Even when it doesn't appear like there's much reason for gratitude, if any at all, there's always one reason that we can come back to, that God is there and God is at work in all of our circumstances. God is there and God is at work in all of our circumstances. Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 17 and 18. It says, for our light and our momentary troubles are achieving for us an eternal glory that far outweighs them all. And so we fix our eyes not on what is seen, but on what is unseen, since what is seen is temporary, but what is unseen is eternal. That's why Hebrews chapter 12, verse 18 goes on to say, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken, let us be thankful and so worship God acceptably with reverence and awe. Paul says in Romans chapter 8, verse 28, you know it well, for we know that in all things, not just the good things, but in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, and are called according to his purpose. So change your perspective. See the hand of God at work, even in your most difficult circumstances. It'll change your life. And finally, simply this, just rejoice. Just rejoice. Just verbalize your praise and your gratitude to God. Simply offer up your voice in praise and thanksgiving to God, whether you're happy or you're hurting, because your gratitude reaches God's heart and releases more of his presence in your life. It releases more of his provision for your life, and it will release more of his power to be at work in your life. A.W. Tozer said this, gratitude is an offering precious in the sight of God. It is one that the poorest of us can make and not be poorer, but richer for having made it. David Stendhal Rast was a great writer. He was a Trappist monk. And he wrote a book simply entitled Gratitude, a wonderful book. And in this book, he makes what I think is probably the most profound statement that you will hear today. I want you to think about this. In fact, I'd like you to write this down and meditate on this thought. He says that the root of joy is gratefulness. The root of joy is gratefulness. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. Let me read that again. The root of joy is gratefulness. It is not joy that makes us grateful. It is gratitude that makes us joyful. I think that's why Paul, at least in part, wrote what he did in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 1. He said, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. God wants you to be joyful. God wants you to enjoy life and to be happy. And the gateway to joy, the gateway to happiness, friends, is to early and often and authentically offer your gratitude to God for how good He is. So, practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. It's only fitting. It's only fitting. About 50 years before Christ was born, a Roman philosopher by the name of Cicero, I think, rightly pointed out. He said, gratitude is not only the greatest of the virtues, but it's the parent of all others. It is the gateway. It is the gateway to joy in our lives. It's only fitting. Not only is it only fitting, it's your duty and mine. It's our duty. I love what G.K. Chesterton, who was a great journalist that lived in England in the last century, he said this. He said, the worst moment for an atheist is when he feels grateful and there's no one to thank. I would add to that, not just an atheist, but a believer as well. I think believers often live as practical atheists when they fail to give God the credit that He deserves, when they fail to acknowledge Him with the gratitude of their hearts. I think it's just something that makes us miserable people when we fail to do that. It's our duty to give God what He deserves. And not only that, lastly, it's good for you. Gratitude is good for you. Now, I'm not just talking spiritually. Hopefully, I've made my case for the spiritual benefits of being grateful, of living as grateful people, but it's also emotionally healthy for you as well. It's relationally invigorating as well to live as a person of gratitude. Bruce Chapman, the founder of the Discovery Institute, went on in his article to write this. He said, when one is grateful, it is hard to feel angry or resentful or bitter. It's hard to feel angry, resentful, or bitter when you're being grateful. And that will improve your emotional health. That will improve your relationships. If you're in a relationship with an ungrateful, grumpy person, that's not good for your relationship. When gratitude comes in, the relationship begins to be invigorated and strengthened. Not only good for you spiritually and emotionally and relationally, but gratitude is actually good for you physically as well. Did you know that? It's good for you physically. Bruce Chapman goes on to write, some medical scientists think that gratitude is healing, that the emotion of thankfulness releases endorphins that produce a feeling of well-being. In contrast, fear and hostility pump adrenaline into one's veins and raise our blood pressure. A virologist from Ohio State University did some research, a guy by the name of Ronald Glasser, and he writes this. He writes, stressed out grumblers are 2.5 times more susceptible to colds than grateful people. Did you get that? Ungrateful, grumpy people are 2.5 times more likely to suffer from the common cold. So what you've suspected all along is true. Literally true. Grumpy, ungrateful people are snottier than other people. Listen. The worship of a grateful life will change your world. It's a simple message. You probably know this already, but we drift away from this truth, the simple truth. The worship of a grateful life will change your world. If you're sensing a need for a change in your world, if you're sensing the need for a better world, then just practice gratitude and you'll begin to experience God's transforming love. You'll begin to feel God's enduring goodness in your life. I challenge you this morning, especially if things aren't going so well for you, that you would practice gratitude and watch what God does in response to that. Bruce Manning, in one of my favorite books, it's called Ruthless Trust, writes this. To be grateful for unanswered prayer, to give thanks in a state of interior desolation, to trust in the love of God, in the face of the marvels, the cruel circumstances, the obscenities, the commonplaces of life, is to whisper a doxology in the darkness. You know what doxology is? It comes from the Greek word, compound Greek word. Doxa means glory, and ology is from logia, logos, which means to offer a word. To offer a word that glorifies God. We've learned that worship is about glorifying God. When we offer our gratitude, even when it's not going so well, even as an act of faith that says, God, you know, this isn't too pleasant right now, But I give you thanks because I know that you're good and I know that you're at work in my life. To offer gratitude to God is to lift a doxology to God. And when you do that, when you practice that, it will change your world. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord, you have been so good to us. And I pray that you would go before us into this week and you would prepare good things for your people. And our commitment to you is that we will live as people of grateful lives. We will offer our lips and we will offer our lives to you every moment of the day in gratitude for how good you have been. Lord, bless your people as they go. Keep them in your care. Keep them in your peace. Keep them in your grace, I pray. In the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Spirit. And all God's people said, amen, amen. God bless you. Go in God's grace. Turn to someone and say, God is so good. Enjoy your day. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. Thank you for listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast, featuring the final portion of our series called The Wonder of Worship. If you live in the Portland area and are looking for a place to connect, please join us this coming Sunday. For more information about our service times and about our church, you can find it right here on our website at www.pcctoday.com.